Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest tonight is starring in the Starz crime drama Power. The show is produced by 50 Cent, and the third season of Power is slated to begin in July. One of the main characters in the show is Tommy Egan. He's played by Chicago theater vet Joseph Sikora. He grew up on the Northwest Side studying acting at Columbia College, and he's still a member of the off-loop theater company Shattered Globe. And he's my guest tonight at the big table. Joseph Sikora, welcome to The Download.
Justin, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me, pal.
You know, you've had such a career in acting. I have to ask, what are you doing back in Chicago? Because I know you're from here, but you don't live here anymore.
It's always great to come back. So any opportunity I can kind of have to come back, I'll take it. I hope producers aren't listening to offer me less money because I might just take it. But I'm doing the season 3 finale of Chicago PD. Playing another pretty violent guy, which is so interesting to me because I'm about the sweetest guy you'll ever meet, but I keep getting cast as these guys.
You have that look, especially in Power. They got you. You're the muscle.
Yeah. I'm the muscle in Power, that's for sure. But Tommy's also a very dynamic character, which was kind of my mission when I got cast, not to make him two-dimensional, but really fill out that third dimension because I think he's also oftentimes the comic relief of the show.
Now, you've done a lot of TV. I mean, like you said, you're going to be on Chicago PD, but with Power, this is the third season, and your character, Tommy, he's a big part of it. I mean, this is a show that you have stuck on.
Well, the show has really evolved in a way to become about the two brothers, and that being Ghost, played by Omari Hardwick, who's obviously African-American, and myself, Tommy Egan, who is really the street muscle, and Mari's Ghost is really the intelligence, kind of trying to up the game, get out of the streets, transition that money into something legitimate.
He's the kingpin.
Right. But as Tommy is too. And I think that people who are following the show can kind of see that Tommy has already done all this legwork, that it's kind of a serendipitous discovery to him, like, hey, I've actually been putting in this time. Maybe I'm the boss and he's number two.
Well, there's a lot going on in the show. I mean, obviously, it's a crime drama, but it's also there's so many twists and turns with it. I got to ask for you, I mean, does it change as an actor to be able to stay with a show for three seasons? To be able
Absolutely.
To go, I mean, do you change 100%. The way you approach the project?
Well, it's been a dream. Courtney Kemp, our show's creator and executive producer and showrunner, so she's the head writer, is really an exceptionally smart woman and driven and strong, but also accessible. And I think that she's written very three-dimensional characters. So when you write a three-dimensional character and you have an actor who really wants to access all of that emotion and all those different kind of states, you have the opportunity to transcend and really talk to people so people can see themselves within that character. And I think that that's happened within all four of these characters, Notori Naughton, Lila Lauren, Omari Hardwick, and myself being the four leads of the show, and really trying to, we've progressed those characters along with the writing, and then the storyline has really branched out huge. Yeah. And this third season is going to blow us up. Watch this demographic grow. It's going to be unbelievable.
I'm interested because, you know, I a lot of working actors, especially a lot of working actors who have come from Chicago theater, they'll take what they can get and they'll play in whatever show that they're offered. Maybe you'll see a lot of them on Chicago Fire, Chicago PD. The idea of staying with a show and being able to grow in that character over, you know, now coming up in three seasons, I'm interested in how, as an actor, you approach your craft. I mean, because now you're comfortable with your surroundings, you know your set, you know the actors that you're working with. What do you do as an actor to push yourself, to challenge yourself to continue to grow and not, you know, sit on your laurels that you have a gig?
Well, I think part of it is also learning how to change in different ways. I think as Chicagoans, even those that of us that grew up here in the city, there's still a certain kind of general Midwestern work ethic. If I work harder, this will happen. If I do this a little bit more, then I'll succeed. That's not the way in acting, and for a lot of reasons. And
really?
Yes. Working hard is definitely an admirable attribute. However, when you're in a show for 3 years, if you keep working hard, sometimes you have to listen to what the world is telling you. Relax. You got this. Show up. Be calm. Be present. And just answer back.
Right.
Take it a little bit easier. Work smarter. Don't work so hard. And those are really hard lessons to learn for somebody who was taught, like for my dad. You know, do it right the first time.
Right.
If you're cutting a lawn, if you got to edge the thing, you're going to sand it down, sand the whole thing down. Do it right the first time. Come on, work harder. So I have to kind of let that voice take a back seat and say, and have just have confidence and allow flow. There's a little bit of arty fartiness in it, you know, a little bit of mysticism if you want the magic to happen.
The idea of going into acting, what drew you to this?
Because I just wanted to be heard. You know what I mean? I wanted to be heard. I wanted to be seen. I was a middle child. I was growing up in that kind of lower middle class environment with policemen and firemen and city workers and kind of a Chicago that of my dad's era, you know, just kind of, and my grandmother who I love so much, the, you know, and just being in Jefferson Park so much with her and kind of going through these motions of like this kind of wonderful working class city of big shoulders idea for generations. But that wasn't necessarily me. I was trying to find my voice. You know, I'm a Polish American and my mother's father was really hurtful with because I started speaking Polish as a little kid, but it was my grandmother's Polish, which was he called me a gutter bum. Don't speak like that. You're doing a disservice to the language. You know, who am I? Where do I belong? So I started getting into a little bit of mischief in high school, you know, pre-high school. I started writing my name on stuff and, you know, joining a wonderful group of guys, J4F, a great graffiti crew of really eclectic people who just wanted to have their stuff seen and heard. And then that leads you into a different kind of direction. I started fighting. I was a boxer out of Matador's boxing club, which no longer exists, at Augusta and Noble at the Northwestern Settlement House. And just all these different ways to be seen. So then I got into acting kind of at the same time. I was just experimenting with all of these different outlets and seeing what stuck.
I want to talk to you about that because you went to Columbia College. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about that experience, about making that transition from being a graffiti artist to a boxer. And when you got to theater class, what drew you in? Because it's not just about, you know, oh, great, I'm going to read lines. There's something there that happened.
We got a story for you because I got kicked out of the first college I went to.
There we go. I knew it. Right. Joseph Sikora, he's the star of the show Power, which is on Stars. It's the third season is slated to begin in July. He grew up here in Chicago, went to Columbia College, a theater member of Shattered Globe. We'll continue the conversation right after this. Stay with us.
They say this is a big, rich town. Yeah. Just come from the poorest part. Bright light, city life, I gotta make it. This is where it goes down.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight in studio, the big table, Joseph Sikora, actor. He's on the show Power, which is slated to begin its third season in July. He's a Chicago theater veteran who is still a member of the off-loop theater company Shattered Globe. He went to Columbia College, and that's kind of where we left off the conversation about going into college. Because as you said, you know, you were kind of into mischief in high school, pre-high school, you know, writing your name on things. Then you got into boxing. Talk about getting into theater school. What happened to you in theater school?
Well, you know, my parents were very, obviously very, wanted all of us to go to college. My other two brothers, I have two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother. My older brother also went to Notre Dame High School for Boys in Niles, which is where I went, and my younger brother went to St. Ignatius because they finally learned their lesson for us, that wasn't necessary. Hey, listen, my brother was a valedictorian. He's a smart guy. But it wasn't a good school for me. It wasn't challenging. It wasn't challenging in the right ways. I mean, I hated taking two buses to school as well. I could have just taken one and gone to St. Pat's. Nobody cares. Or walked down the street to Taft. That would have been fine,
but
too.
But as a kid, I mean, that you ask those questions, real questions.
Yeah.
Like, why am I taking two buses to school? Yeah. Why can't I just go where all the people in the neighborhood, all my friends from the neighborhood are going?
Yeah, well, you know, some of the kids from the neighborhood went there, but a lot of kids that I was friends with went to Lane. And I think that would have been better for me because of the shop classes. I was better with my hands. My two brothers, my older brother and my younger brother, are very cerebral. I mean, they're incredibly intelligent people. Not that I'm not intelligent. I'm just smart in different ways than that. So when I was going to school, I said, of course, I'm going to go to school for acting because I was involved in theater when I was really young. And I was in a commercial with Michael Jordan. And
that is on your trivia.
Yeah, there you go.
So I was in a commercial with Michael Jordan.
That's true. It's all true. So I just thought, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So I got into a school here in Chicago, a university that has an acting program. I forget what they call it. It's kind of one of the ones that's all encapsulating. They kind of hold your hand and walk you to each class type thing. It just didn't work for me because the teachers were set up more like gurus. You weren't encouraged to ask questions about this, kind of like, okay, it's kind of like move your arm in this way.
Well, it was a training school.
Exactly. Why am I doing that? Right. Don't ask the question. Right. Just do it and the answer will come to you. And I wasn't having that because I was paying for a lot of my school. You know, so that was like, I deserve
I'm paying answers. Ask questions.
Exactly.
Right?
So when I was asked to leave that program, I went to Columbia College, and I found it just such a rewarding experience. I had wonderful teachers like Sheldon Patinkin and Jeff Ginsberg, who were incredibly nurturing to artists. And if you asked a question, they answered a question. It was simple.
And I remember taking classes in the theater school under Sheldon at Columbia College back in the 90s. And what I remember about it was it brought a lot of people in from different disciplines.
Absolutely.
It wasn't an acting school per se. You had a lot of people who were coming in who wanted to learn the craft but didn't necessarily go take all the classes to lead up to it.
It's the best acting training I ever had in my life for that reason. You had kids who were film majors. You had kids who were writing majors taking an acting class to fulfill that. What do they call that?
Just like a prereq.
Exactly.
Some sort. Right, right.
So then they're doing that. And that is the most helpful thing I've ever had in my life for television. Because God love every actor. I'm pro actor. But some people are not very talented. So when you're on a television show and this person's a lead in the show and they're awful, you need to learn how to say, all right, listen to that line and still take it as truth and answer back.
Right. You almost have to become a teacher yourself.
Then, I mean, there's, you know, gifted teachers like Jeff Ginsberg, like David Cromer, who understood how to teach every student differently. So every student got his own personalized education, which I thought was phenomenal. I mean, to that kid who was an artist, who was coming to take an acting class, you know what? He might be incredible. And that teacher might be able to explain to him something that opens up that shell where that beautiful flower comes out. It doesn't happen to everybody.
Well, I believe that performances, especially when you're talking about the arts, whether it be writing or photography or radio or anything, I mean, it's a big part of it. And that school was teaching people how to respect performance, to articulate performance. And that to me is why that works.
Yes. It's taking it seriously but lightly.
There you go. All right. So after that, I mean, you obviously were able to transition from Columbia College into a great theater.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the most supportive. Chicago, right? I mean, Shattered Globe, everybody should go see In the Heat of the Night. It's playing right now at Shattered Globe. Tickets are cheap. Just go to New York. You'll believe me. It's a really nurturing environment. And unlike New York, I think that you have the opportunity. You can go from play to play to play. And back when I was coming up, you could do something at the next theater, and then you may be lucky enough to get into something at Remy Bumpo, or good Lord, you'd be in something at the Goodman or Chicago Shakespeare, holy cow. And then you could go right back into doing something at Shattered Globe and a Red Orchid and just kind of bouncing around.
So that ethic, that Midwest ethic that we were talking about works here.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
If you want it to work for you. It's also difficult. You can do the woe is me and you can drink your troubles away. But you know what? A lot of actors drank their troubles away and still did every show.
Well, you know, I always hear people talk about that Midwest ethic, and it's an interesting twist on it that, you know, sometimes just applying, you know, the idea of hard work to the coast, to a television show, may not be the best way to just sort of directly do that. There are ways to, you have to learn where you're at. But you hear so many times that people who came up in Chicago through theater or through, you know, writing, what have you, when they go to Hollywood, they have a leg up. Most of the people that are working there from Chicago, because they do work hard.
Look at the one person who I probably mentioned way too much in interviews and stuff, but look at Michael Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
He's an inspiration to me in so many ways, and the main one is that nothing is more important than the craft of acting. No promotion, no look, anything outside of the actual work of exploring the human condition, that old thing that everybody talks about. It's actually true. And to see somebody put that into work is incredible. You know, he's got that brooding exterior that everybody says, but you know what I mean? That's true. And then somebody like Tracy Letts, Oklahoma native, who obviously came up through the Chicago ranks.
Steppenwolf.
And hardworking guy doing all his theater. I just saw Mary Page Marlowe, which it's great. I mean, he talks about humanity. So I think that kind of the hard work is evident. But he's also a guy, he's so light too in the room. He's the smartest guy I ever met. And funny. And intense.
Well, let's take a break for the news, and we'll continue the conversation, because I really want to get at how you approach the craft of acting, especially when you get to Hollywood. Because, you know, working on television shows, auditioning, that whole thing, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it besides just working on the craft. There's a lot of distractions.
And to a guy like me who still has to go in for pre-reads.
Right, so let's talk about that. Joseph Sikora is the he plays Tommy Egan on the show Power, which is on Starz, and the third season is slated to begin in July. He is also a member of the Off-Loop Theater Company Shattered Globe. He's my guest tonight at the big table. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest tonight at the big table, Joseph Sikora. He's the man who is Tommy Egan. I always say the man who plays Tommy Egan. I guess that's how you'd say it. He plays Tommy Egan on the show Power on Starz. The new season starts up in July. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's here in Chicago because he's going to be in the new Chicago PD, the finale that's coming up here. Mm-hmm. Also, member of Shattered Globe Theater. How often do you get back here?
I don't get back here often enough. My parents still live here. They live downtown. My cousins live up on the north side still. So I get to see some friends who I came up with and whatnot. But I love Chicago, especially in the spring. It's the sexiest place on earth.
Let's talk about, you know, you live in New York, but I would assume with your career you spend a lot of time in L.A. You spend in Hollywood. Or...
You know, Los Angeles didn't really agree with me.
Why not?
It's a very difficult place. It's a place because of, like I was saying earlier in the interview, that it was hard for me to feel like I wasn't seen. And in Los Angeles, it's really hard to not play the game and to not be construed as a number. And one of the things that put me over the edge, because I lived in Los Angeles for 6.5 years, but I was back and forth to Chicago, to New York as much as possible.
I mean, you have, as an actor, if you want to get into television and film, I mean, you have to go to the industry.
You have to go to L.A. Right. And I still go to L.A. I just came from L.A. just to go through auditions to have my face seen rather than being put on tape. So, you know, you seem like a human every now and again. But it's for some people, it's not for some people. The final straw for me was when my car broke down for the fourth time and my tow truck driver asked me not to sit on his headshots. I thought, you know, I got to get out of here.
Well, let me ask you, because a lot of people might be listening on WGN Radio right now. I mean, maybe they're not familiar with an actor's life. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not familiar. They know you from the show, or maybe they know, you know, you on different shows. Or they watch and they're entertained, and they don't really want to know necessarily. But it's a hard life being an actor because of what you talked about. There's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of auditions, as you mentioned right before the break, pre-reads. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things where the industry puts actors, and there's a lot of them, through a huge sort of rigmarole just to be able to get some work.
It's true. I mean, I think a lot of times the amount of time that you have to put into an audition, depending on what your process is, you put in, so say there's 4 pages of sides. You're putting in 12 hours
now,
of work. What you read
the
for
script,
an audition.
Right,
yeah,
right.
The part of the script that they give you to read for the audition, that's maybe 4 pages. Sometimes they're out of their minds and they give you 13. Here, read your whole role for your audition. Let's see how that goes. You know what? He has red hair. That doesn't work for me. Thanks. Yeah, I feel really respected right now. So it's hard not to have a little bit of that bitterness. So what I've always done is find things other than acting that fulfill me. I just started replaying guitar. I played guitar coming up my whole life, and I just really enjoy it again. And sketching, you know, trying not to do it on walls anymore. But.
So the idea of, I mean, I guess this is probably true for anybody, whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, mm-hmm. or you work at the grocery store, making work your only place where you're going to be fulfilled is probably not a great proposition.
Yeah, even when you're doing something like an artistic craft, like acting or painting or whatever you're doing, finding that other thing in life that makes that something that you can come back to for joy and real exploration, rather than I have to pay my phone bill and I'm dying if I don't get this job, rather than like, you know, this other thing fulfills me up. You know, maybe I don't need that full plan of 200 and friggin' megabytes coming down on something. So
but
really
now you're
does.
On season 3 of Power. You can get the big plan.
Well, yeah, you know, that's actually, it's very, very nice to have the steady employment. However, I think people think I make more money than I do.
I mean, that's the weird thing, because there's this thing in this country, but I think it's just as human beings, that if we see you on that screen,
right,
we think that you are you've made it.
But even though I've had a 20-year career before that, nobody knows who I am before this show, really. I mean, people in the industry know me from certain roles that got a lot of notoriety. You know, the common person's not like, oh, you were that gnarly biker from True Detective season 1. Oh, you were the pregnant guy in Grey's Anatomy. Oh, you were in the series finale NYPD Blue. Joe Slovak, Brooklyn Salt Narcotics, I know you. No, of course not. They're like, who is this guy? So do the networks. So when Starz came out and you sign a contract, you sign it for 5 years, mm-hmm. it's not like, hey, we're going to offer you a ton of money, because they're taking a risk on this show as well.
Right.
They didn't know it was going to be the number one show on Starz and have 6.5 million viewers with combined numbers and bring the network from being the third or fourth network into the second second position.
And I'm not your manager and I'm not your agent, but I would assume that they're not necessarily saying, if this show goes well, Joseph, you're going to be a rich man. No, you're stuck on your contract, regardless if they're getting $6 million.
You know what? You have you hope that they say you're doing such a phenomenal job. You know what? We're gonna do this out of. But you can't bank on that. You can't bank on anything. What you can do is do good work. And then have people respect you and then take that into the next thing and use that the next time it comes up.
We talked a little bit about your mischief. You know, you kind of were a tough kid growing up. I mean,
I was a scared kid and then acting out.
So another thing in Hollywood, which happens to typecast.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
sure.
The idea that, you know, the first job you get, you're a thug who robs a liquor store. And they're like, he's good. You know, I know a guy who robs liquor stores pretty well. Let's get Joseph. And it continues. Yeah. And then even, you know, do you find yourself in Hollywood, even when you get success, having to fight the idea that you can play one type of person?
I think you do, because then people also say, do you have any tape on the guy? And then they say, oh, yeah, well, we have another, you know, 30 shows that he's done that he's very similar. Oh, geez, he's great at that. I'll take him. But then I also have done work like one of my favorite jobs ever, called The Heart She Holler, which was on Adult Swim Network, starring Patton Oswalt and Amy Sedaris. And it was one of the most fun shows I've ever done, and a comedy, and a very fun comedy. And that's another thing that I think Chicago theater really primes you for, is that if you're not well-rounded, you're limiting your options anyway with all of the different plays and all of the different places you can do it.
So for you, I mean, how do you avoid that? I mean, how do you get people interested in Joseph Sikora, the actor, as opposed to the characters that Tommy Egan?
Well, you know, if all else fails, I can go back to doing more theater where the opportunities are still big. And not like I'm embraced by the New York theater community. I mean, I still have theater houses that I've auditioned for many times, even with, you know, the minor success that I've had, even with being on Broadway, that these off Broadway places won't even see me. Which is interesting to me, or I won't get cast. But New York Theater Workshop has been incredibly supportive. The Irish Repertoire Theater, that I'm a company member of in New York, Kieran O'Reilly, one of my close friends, has just been incredibly supportive. So I do have theatrical homes there.
So you can go back to the theater to reinvent yourself.
Yeah,
to do,
you know, sharpen the tool. Right. And I also write. Our good friend Rick Kogan, we're involved with some projects together. And, you know, hopefully get on both sides of the camera. So you have to kind of keep inventing and thinking outside of the box. Stay creative.
You know, you're in town to shoot on Chicago PD.
That's true.
You've got season 3 here of Power coming out. You got a regular job there. What do these opportunities, what do they provide you? Meaning, what's next for you? What do you want to do now that you're starting to get some regular work and you're not having to figure out what your next job or your next paycheck is at? Are there things artistically, even in television, that you want to go after that these jobs afford?
You know, in television, I'll save that for when I need the job so much. I mean, a lot of these television opportunities, I did a couple episodes of Underground on WGN. Let's give some love to the network. And that was because Anthony Hemingway, who directed the first two episodes of Power, was like, you know, I believe you can do, you know, that your range is huge. So here's this crazy, weird character. Let me send you these scripts. And I said, great, I can do anything I want. He said, sure. Well, then you show up on set and the showrunners are like, maybe, what are you doing exactly here? So you kind of have to check yourself a little bit. Or I did NBC's The Player last year, just another guest. But that was another offer from one of the directors saying, hey, this would be...
I don't want to digress from the question, but it's fascinating to me that you continue to talk about, you know, being able to work because of the relationships.
It becomes... That's the next level, is when the relationships come, people see your work. It's all about you. And then that's when it becomes about who you know. So what... Back to the question is, what do I want? Is really to be to transition into films. I love films. Mm-hmm. I love the media of film. I love the encapsulated 2-hour, you know, beginning, middle, end of it. I think it goes back to the roots of being a storyteller. It's been really difficult to transition into film. I mean, from indie to big feature to everything. It's just like I'm almost there, and it just almost never happens. And even though when I did Jack Reacher, Chris McQuarrie, who wrote the film and directed the film, and I really admire, he was just like, you know, it was instant. Like, you know, it was just you, and like, there was no question. And I'm just like, how come, like, this is the only time that's happened in my life, if that's the case?
Well, not to get too philosophical about life in Hollywood, but It does seem like a life of almosts. Did you know that going in? And then when you think about that concept, what is that? What does that make you feel?
I don't know. If I'm now that we're well into the interview, I'll say something as if I'm on my second beer, I guess, or something. I feel like I've never lost that spark of there's great things out there for me, and I just know it. So
when you don't get the part, are you getting a second callback and that kind of thing? It doesn't, like, destroy you. You're like, you know what? That wasn't meant to
be.
Sometimes
it hurts. You know, I'm human. But a friend of mine who I grew up with, you'll love this quote. And if you're listening out there, Kenny, you'll love it too. When I went out to Los Angeles, after I went from New York back to Chicago, I'm going out to L.A., he says to me, he goes, Joe, do yourself a favor. Don't tell nobody how you grew up. Don't tell nobody none of these stories. I said, why not, Kay? He said, because you're soft and it's going to break your heart. Nobody's going to believe you.
There you go. Let me ask you this question, just more of a life question. You know, that you're looking for other things to fulfill you, whether it be other artistic pursuits like guitar or writing or anything like that. Do you see a life ever without acting?
I don't. It's been really hard for me. I always, people say, if you weren't going to be an actor, what else would you be? And I really always thought that I would be a fireman, that, you know, because I always put my name on the list. And but I just, it's hard, man. It's hard. It's one of those weird things where every now and again you'd be crying for no reason and stuck in Los Angeles and being like, why did you do this to me, God? Like, if I didn't have some sort of weirdo calling to perform and be, you know, that vessel and believe in magic and believe that my experience as this fake person in front of people would somehow change both of our lives at the same time, I wouldn't be doing this. I swear to you, it's a hard life and it's heavy on your heart, but, you know, I feel like I'm doing what I was called to do.
The third season of Power is on Stars. It begins in July. My guest tonight, Chicago theater vet and the man who is known on that show as Tommy Egan.
It's true.
Joseph Sikora. Joseph, thanks so much for taking some time out to be my guest tonight.
Thank you, man.